welcome to Frequency Matters, the RF and Microwave Update series. I'm Pat Hindle, and I'm here with my co-host, Gary LaRude. In this episode, we're going to take a look at our March Cable and Connector Supplement. This is an annual piece that we kind of hand out all year long, so it's a great one to be in.
Right.
So the featured story is about the development of a 0.8 millimeter connector. So Enritsu determined that they really need a capability beyond W-band, because a lot of applications are in W-band for accurate
right.
measurements. So they developed a 0.8 millimeter connector, which is better than the 1 millimeter that currently most people use. So it's a great article for that, and that operates to 145 gigahertz.
So amazing.
Very high frequency. How about for the other technical features?
Well, we have kind of a datacom theme as the datacom world starts getting to higher and higher frequencies. The first article is by Dan Birch of Fairview, and he talks about using coax cables for actually data communication. And you have to pay attention to SKU and the phase instability between the cables, how it impacts the SKU. And the second article is one by Yuri Shlepnev of Symbirion and Marco Marin of Infinera. They're talking about how do you basically validate a printed circuit board now that printed circuit boards have to carry up to 40 gigahertz and above. The old rules for digital and mixed signal just aren't working anymore. And you sure want to find out that you have a bad board before you populate the board with all the components. So they write an article about doing validation tests on new lots of boards or new board suppliers, so you make sure you don't have that problem. So some interesting articles in the supplement.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how the high-speed digital market is using some of the physics that microwave people have been using for years.
For decades, yeah.
They are coming together.
Exactly.
So we have one product feature. It's from Jinkasha, and they've developed a millimeter wave line of cables, and those are capable to 70 gigahertz, and the distinguishing factor is they're very phase stable and reliable, so very appropriate for 5G and millimeter wave applications. How about the tech briefs?
Well, we have two tech briefs. We have one from Delta Electronics Manufacturing about their gang-mounted and stackable interconnects for both microwave and millimeter wave frequencies. And then from Southwest Microwave, we have a 1 millimeter connector that's board-mounted with a vertical launch, and that goes up to 110 gigahertz. So again, a lot of high frequency in the supplement.
Yeah, I feel like it was the millimeter wave supplement, pretty
exactly,
much.
Exactly, exactly.
So turning to the news, more 5G rollouts announced. Verizon says they're gonna deploy their first 5G mobile service, and it'll be in two cities in the US, Chicago and Minneapolis. And this will only be initially available with the Motorola Z3 model, which has the 5G mod that you can clip on. And so there are other 5G models that we saw at Mobile World Congress, so I'm sure they'll be adding more models.
Right.
Most notably, the Galaxy S10 will be available in a 5G version. And I think that was said they would hit the US and Korean markets in the first half of this year.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just getting used to 5G and kind of wrapping our head around that. But, you know, from a standards perspective, the scope of 5G is pretty much defined. So let's talk 6G. So there was FCC being very progressive, and they're
right.
considering opening up more than 21 gigahertz of spectrum in the 95 gigahertz to 3 terahertz range. Mm. And so this will be unlicensed bands that will allow for experimental work to be done at 6G and beyond. And Theodore Rappaport, the professor who founded NYU Wireless, was there advocating for industry along with some other experts. NYU Wireless is already doing channel sounding at 140 gigahertz.
Interesting.
So they're kind of paving the way for 6G like they did at 73 gigahertz for 5G. And we also have seen some action at the University of Oulu in Finland.
Mm-hmm.
They have a 6 Genesis project, and they're looking at 6G and IoT applications for the future. So a lot of activity starting to ramp up, at least on the academic side, for 6G.
Interesting.
How about you for news?
Well, a couple of things related to space. Right at the end of February, OneWeb launched their first 6 satellites. These are test satellites to kind of validate the satellites and some of the networking concepts. And then just within the last few days, they announced they've raised another $1.25 billion. So this brings their funding to about $3.4 billion. The investors in this round include Qualcomm, which is interesting, and SoftBank. So they join existing investors like Airbus, interestingly enough, Coca-Cola, and Virgin Group. So part of this funding is going to go into their satellite factory in Florida. And by October timeframe, they expect to be launching 30 satellites a month and actually building
wow.
2 satellites a day in that factory. So it'll be interesting to watch over the next several months how they progress. I think of all the various constellations, they're in the lead right now.
Yeah, you're starting to see the fruition of those satellite constellations that we've been talking about for a few years.
And now the second item for me is UMS and TSAT Spacecom actually qualified some GaN power amplifiers to fly on the European Biomass Earth Observation Satellite. And UMS provided the GaN TSAT Spacecom did the packaging and the qualification testing. Part of this, they had to come up with a new qual procedure under the European Space Agency auspices for GAN, which they did. The products were qualified. They said there were no anomalies. So these are set to launch in 2021. So that's a milestone for Europe.
And turning to events, our next one will be EDICON China, taking place April 1st through the 3rd in Beijing. So I'll be leading two panels at EDICON China. The first will be the 5G OTA panel, which will be discussing the different test techniques and debating which are the pros and cons of each. That was featured in our March cover feature, and that will be followed by a panel session on GAN technology. So I'll be debating the different types of GAN technologies used, different devices that can be used for GAN, and also the state of GAN technology in China.
Interesting.
So we have a full conference program there. We'll be covering simulation, test and measurement, device design, some of the hot applications like 5G, IoT, and radar. We also have signal integrity, power integrity, and EMC, EMI topics. And we'll have a full day training of EMC by a local training organization there. And we have two featured keynotes from Keysight and Rohde & Schwarz, our main sponsors. And that will be followed by an invited guest, and that will be Steve Sandler from Picotest, and he's the founder there. He'll be talking about power integrity for both high-frequency and high-speed digital applications. So a lot going on at EDICON China. We hope everybody can make that.
Yeah, it's a great technical program, and I was impressed that the number of Chinese papers that were accepted this year. So a lot of great content. So if you're planning to go and you haven't registered yet, please do so. It's coming up in a couple weeks at ediconchina.com. And I think that's it for this episode.
That wraps it up.
So we want to thank you for watching this episode. And we want to thank our longtime and loyal sponsor, MACOM, for making the program possible. MACOM is your partner from RF to light. And if you need any components in that frequency range, please check out their portfolio. Until next time.